Today, my guests are Rohit Pitale, Chief Growth Officer, and Pramod Ghatge, CEO at Unbox Robotics. Unbox Robotics is a rapidly growing mobile robotics company from India, offering a unique 3D sortation solution. We discuss how their scalable robotic put wall is redefining omnichannel and e-commerce fulfillment, which use cases they address with their system, and why they choose Vaku Care software as their service and maintenance backbone. Let's go.
In a very small space, we are able to navigate these robots with the robot control system. And that is where a lot of our engineering has gone into, make sure that we are minimizing the choking of the system or the robots. At the same time, we are able to pack in more capacity in the same space.
Roboter in der Logistik. Dieser Podcast wird dir präsentiert von Vaku Robotics, die Expertinnen und Experten für mobile Roboter in der Logistik und Produktion.
Welcome to a new episode of Vaku Updates, a podcast about mobile robots in logistics and production. It's a pleasure having you back again. My name is Viktor Spitgeber. I'm CEO of Vaku Robotics and host of this podcast. Today, I'm joined by two people, Rohit and Pramod. Pramod is CEO at Unbox Robotics. Rohit is heading growth. And Unbox Robotics is offering a mobile sortation system. They're from India. I had the pleasure of meeting them in person in their office in India when I was there in the beginning of this year, and was amazed by the technology, also the robustness and how it's targeted on the point on this specific use case of sortation. So, Rohit, Pramod, it's a great pleasure having you. Hello.
Hello, Victor. It's a pleasure to connect with you again. It was a pleasure to host you in India as well.
Yeah, thanks for having us on your podcast. Really good to speak about what we're doing and what we can do together.
Pramod, Rohit, maybe you can tell a few more words, you know, like your experience. You shared that you were installing sortation solutions, mobile sortation solutions in your past, and you saw the shortcomings of those solutions. And that's why you decided to build this this startup and the technology of Unbox. So maybe you can give a bit of background where you're coming from and how you drove you to create this solution.
Yeah, so we started the company in 2019. Previously, I used to work in Flipkart, which is now part of Walmart, and my role was to deploy robotics and automation for them. One of the key areas of focus for me was to automate our sort centers, where we do a lot of sortation. So we used to deploy a lot of conveyors, the robots which are typically running on the platforms, taking a lot of infrastructure or let's say the space. A lot of times, it used to take like several months to go live. So we felt that the existing systems need to have some kind of disruption in the industry because existing systems were pretty difficult to scale up rapidly or let's say they were designed to automate a certain portion of the sortation, not end-to-end. A lot of times people were deploying conveyor sorters for primary sortation but leaving the secondary sortation part to the people. So how do we change this? So we started thinking about a potential way or let's say potential solutions back in 2019 after looking at all these technologies globally. And we felt that let's build a system which can be deployed directly on the floor without changing much infrastructure. It should be deployed in a small space and it should be scalable because our customers or the companies which is within the retail and the e-commerce space are typically growing at a very good rate year on year. They keep adding more volume to their supply chain network. And you can't have a conveyor system defined for certain fixed capacity and you run out of the capacity after 2 years or 3 years. So we wanted to build a system which is minimalistic, very agile, can be deployed in a quick time. So I and Shahid had this idea and Rohit joined us in those discussions around mid of 2019. And we came out of the concept with a very unique 3D mobile robotic system, which can sort packages in small space and is very scalable. So that's how our journey started from concept. And in the last 4 to 5 years, we have built the system after multiple iterations. We onboarded a lot of leading 3PL and e-commerce and retail companies in our journey. And now we are in the process of scaling up further. So would love to kind of share more details in the podcast. But yeah, that's how we started.
What, a few more words on your background, right?
I'm coming from the manufacturing background. So I used to work in, after my engineering, I used to work in a company called Larsen & Toubro. It's a conglomerate giant company in India, which is in these different sectors. I worked in a couple of divisions within that company. One was aerospace manufacturing, which was making rocket launchers for Indian Space Research Organization, ISRO, which is famous for a lot of famous Mars mission or very, let's say, renowned, let's say, missions they have launched in the last few years. Then I was looking at their new product engineering for electrical and automation products, specifically on electrical contactors. So I spent some time in L&T, went to Singapore to do my master's. There I was doing my industrial and systems engineering. And this is where I got more exposure to the startup world. I started working with companies in my daytime with startup founders, and also had a program for entrepreneurship from Singapore University to send me to Israel to work with a 3D printing startup there. So I spent about 6 months there, worked very closely with the founding team there. And then after coming back to Singapore, I had started working on certain ideas. One was within the IoT space for cricket. Somehow we didn't manage to kind of work on that. It was for a sport of cricket. And then around the same time, I was also working on a food tech related idea. We had got a grant from our university back then. Somehow it didn't work back then. So I ended up meeting someone who was heading automation team at Flipkart. So he is the boss who hired me. So I met him in Singapore and we had a very good chat on what he's doing at Flipkart. And he kind of offered that, okay, why don't you come to Bangalore and see if you want to join? So he was kind of saying no harm in exploring. So I had a break after my university. I was about to stay in Singapore, but all those plans got canceled. So I came back to India. I ended up joining the team in Flipkart. It was a small team of about 5 to 7 people. Looking at different areas. Some people were looking at electric vehicles, such as Rohit. Rohit was part of the team. And I was looking at sortation or automation in fulfillment centers. Some other people were looking at certain other aspects. So every one of us was looking at how do we improve our efficiencies? How do we improve our speed, load on the cost by implementing new technologies, right? From basic technologies like conveyors to robots to drones. Or 3D printing, we worked on a lot of interesting projects. So sortation was one of my core areas where back in 2017, I was researching the market around what's happening in sortation, how people are doing sortation in China or Europe or US beyond conveyors. So that's how I got into the space. And then I led one of the projects in Flipkart to deploy robot-based sortation in Bangalore. And this is how I then started observing that what are the gaps in this industry and how can we fix those gaps? And I was fortunate to meet Shahid around the same time, a very good coincidence that I met him with a swarm intelligence and multi-robot system background. And then Rohit was also part of the discussion around that same time. So I think it was a good timing to kind of start working on the solution when I saw the problem.
So it was a good combination of minds because Pramod and I had the exposure of what the industry is looking for, what kind of challenges they're facing on a day-to-day basis, what are the technologies available in the market. And Shahid had the knack of, he had done his master's in robotics and swarm intelligence, and he had a prior startup in the same field. So he came from the technology perspective to figure out how do we fill these gaps. And together we came up with this concept of modular vertical sortation.
It's also fascinating, Rod. We also discussed this in the past, how many parallels we have in you know, like looking at our CVs when I worked at Zalando, you know, like implementing robotics and then seeing the gaps, you know, like we ended up in different fields or, you know, like different aspects of the robotics. It's fascinating how similar this is.
Yeah, I just want to add, like, I think when people look at things on the receiving end, like when they're customers or when they're actually facing the problems, I think they're the best ones to fix those issues if they really want to build some products. So I think we have so many examples where people have suffered something or seen something painful, and then they want to kind of really fix that problem themselves. Yeah. I think that's the story here as well, and Unbox. Yeah.
So we talked a little bit about, you know, like how everything came together, you know, like you saw the need, you saw like the key criteria to develop a system. So maybe you can describe in a few words how the system looks like, what, you know, like what are some of the key characteristics or key features that you built into the system so that people get an understanding what we're talking about.
Yeah. So what we have built is a multi-robot system, which has robots with the 3D capability. What that means is these mobile robots can work directly on the ground. It can be concrete floor or different types of floors. And they have a capability to go up and down to around 7 to 8 feet and drop packages at different heights. So what that means is we can open up high number of destinations, or let's say the sort destinations, to open up the use cases for parcel sortation or order consolidation or put-wall sortation using these high-speed mobile robots. And they typically work in smaller spaces compared to what the industry does. So typically the systems needs 50 to 70% lesser space. And the robot's productivity is almost 2 to 3 times than what we typically see in the industry. So overall, the system becomes much more effective because you need lesser space, you need lesser number of robots, and the system is designed in a very modular way in order to keep the installation time very low. So typically our installations have been done in, let's say, 1 week or maybe 2 weeks, sometimes even a day. So it's very modular to go live and kind of deploy these systems.
In some sense, it's like a robotic scalable put-wall, you know. So conventionally, we've seen multiple vertical level sortation manually done. We call it the put-to-light system or put-walls. And because it's done manually, there is a limitation on how many, let's say, exits you can keep or how many, let's say, locations you can keep in a typical put-wall. And that hindered the scalability of the system, you know, a manual system. The system which we've designed allows you to go crazy, you know, in terms of thousands of exit locations, and the robots are designed to travel the entire space and go vertical, drop it in, let's say, level 3 or level 5 or level 10. And that allows you to make it super compact in a very small space. So you're able to now give thousands of exits to the same problem statement, you know, instead of doing primary sortation, then secondary sortation or put-to-light systems, you know. So that's the benefit bringing onto the table.
So for our European listeners, just looked up 7 feet is a little bit more than 2 meters. So it's pretty high, right?
It's 2.1 meters. Yeah, about 2.1 meters and can go up to 2.4 meters as well.
That's like beyond what you can do with persons, right? Without help. So
to say. Yeah. The idea was to not go too high, because we are not doing storage and retrieval, we are doing sortation. So we kept the height to a certain limit from the robot's perspective. And then it's easy to retrieve if somebody's doing maybe a closure of the bags after sorting or retrieving the packages after sorting. It's easy for humans as well to work with these kind of racks, which are around 2.1 or 2.4 meters.
Yeah. So the side on the robot is much taller and the packages are being dropped at that height. But on the rear end, it generally slides down to a lower height. And the chute is designed in an inclined manner, so it's accessible by you easily. And what we spent more time doing was just engineering the robot to work in extremely compact spaces in a very dense environment. So not only the robot had to be very refined to move at very high speeds in a compact space, lift at high speeds, lift the right amount of payloads, and go at as high as 2.4 meters, but as a system, we had to work heavily on the traffic management system, because now if you see our solutions or the videos, you see like 20, 30 robots working in a very small setup, or even as high as 100, 150 robots in a very small space. We are able to navigate these robots with a robot control system. And that is where a lot of our engineering has gone into, make sure that we're minimizing the choking of the system or the robots. At the same time, we are able to pack in more capacity in the same space.
So, Rod, you're already pointing to some use cases. So, who's the ideal customer? So, like, people now listening to you, to what you're doing, thinking, hey, you know, like, that sounds great, sounds amazing. Sorting on very confined space is exactly what I'm having. So, you know, like, what makes an application suitable for your technology?
So, the general area where we work in, the segments which we operate in, are, let's say, we could call it e-commerce, the general merchandise, fashion, luxury goods, personal care. These are the payloads which our system is very well designed to cater to. And the typical customers would be anybody who's working in the express logistics space for the same, these goods, you know, so the consumer goods. So basically, it could be an e-commerce service provider. It could be a 3PL for the e-commerce or the fashion brands or the retail brands. Or sometimes the retail brands themselves have their own distribution centers, which they're operating to allow omni-channel, you know, fulfillment. So basically now we see a lot of D2C or omni-channel fulfillment happening in the fashion world, especially where people want to deliver goods on the same day or the next day. And this requires you to be very close to the customer as a facility. And you're also supposed to have a very quick pick-to-dispatch or a pick-to-outbound kind of a SLA. And that's where a compact and a modular system like ours is very well-tuned to give you a full-fledged processing time of less than an hour from pick to, you know, pack. And that allows the customers to reach their end consumers very quickly in a very compact space, which is closer to the urban clusters. So that's our segment. That's the segment we're catering to right now.
And why omni-channel? So, like, I understand. So, like, we have packages and we have single items, and you're in both, right? So, like, you can do both. That's why you're omni-channel.
So the reason we say omni-channel is because a typical omni-channel facility, let's assume we're talking about brands like Nike or Decathlon or let's say H&M, Zara. These brands have a larger in-store presence in a typical city. Let's say in a country like Spain, Zara would have 600 stores or something like that. And they have their own multi-brand retail partners, you know, the malls. Or they would have their online presence, the brand.com, where people are placing orders online. Now, the same distribution center is catering to all these orders. So it's a B2B as well as a B2C ecosystem where you can, with the system which we are building, you can pick items with respect to a B2B or a B2C order at the same place. And then our system will ensure, the robots will ensure that they either get dropped into a B2C order multi-level, or it could be a pallet box which is going to a B2, it could be going to a typical store, a retail store, or a multi-brand mall. Or it could be a carrier-based sortations. You know, any of these sortations, our system is very flexible and designed to cater to higher as well as lower volume outbound exits. So that's where you don't need to, conventionally what these omnichannel distribution centers needed to do was they had a separate pick station for B2C orders, they had a separate pick station and a process flow for B2B orders. And all of these things created a lot of inefficiency in picking itself. So you probably needed more presentations per hour if it was an automated ASRS system, or it could be more GTP robots coming in at different stations with the same goods instead of all at one station and you have multiple picks from the same GTP robot. Even if it's manual batch picking, the picking waves would not be as efficient if you're doing B2B separately and B2C picking separately. Because of our system, a compact system which is allowing you to flexibly sort with respect to B2C as well as B2B in a very small space and direct, you don't need to do primary and secondary sortation, we are able to make their picking efficiencies better as well as their sorting efficiencies better in a very small footprint. So that's why omnichannel is a very good use case.
Yeah. So in that use case, if you, you know, like explain a bit, like, so it's your real flow. So you have some sort of storage and then you sort single items, and that is either directed B2B. So that's really single items, or, you know, like you have some sort of bulk storage or, you know, like, carrier that you that are shipped to the stores, be it like an own store or partner store. Is that right?
Yes. So there's a different process flow for B2C and a different process flow for B2B. B2B, when I say, it's basically replenishing stores, right? Or large partners who have their own stores and they're selling the merchandise there in their stores. And B2C is when you're placing an order online or you're doing a click and collect. Click and collect means a person's placing the order online and picking it from the store. So a typical B2C process flow would look like when a person's placing the order, it goes into the wave and then people pick these or robots pick these units individually. And then there is a manual consolidation today, or now with our system, there'll be a robotic consolidation where you're basically sorting packages with respect to the B2C order ID. Once these packages, let's say a person's ordered a black t-shirt and a red t-shirt together, once they're placed in the same chute, these things are retrieved, these packages are retrieved and gone to the packing stations. At the packing stations, both the red and the black t-shirt go in the same box. And then at the outbound, they are sorted with respect to either the click and collect store where they're supposed to be picked from or the carrier, which is going to the last mile delivery. So again, this is a different process flow where our robots can do the post package sortation with respect to the stores or the last mile delivery route. And if we talk about the B2B process flow, B2B process flow is basically a typical store ordering, let's say, anywhere upwards of 50 to 200 or 300 units per day. And they are being replenished on a daily basis, maybe sometimes twice a day, depending on the volume. So they place the order basis their previous day's consumption to the distribution center, where you then pick these units up, place all of these 50 to 200 units in different boxes, each box carrying, let's say, 20 to 40 units. These boxes get sealed with the label on top, which basically points out to the store where it's supposed to go. And then all of them are then loaded into the outbound truck or the van, which basically takes it to the store near the city. So our system is able to build these orders for the store where it could be 20 to 50 units going in a single box. Or it could be a B2C order where it's only 2 to 3 units or sometimes 5 units going to a single customer. The same system, the same robot can drop it into each of these exits. So you don't need multiple handling. With a single touch and a single scan, you're able to sort it to with respect to the end destinations. And then it can get packaged and sealed with respect to the outbound.
Yeah, makes total sense. So now we covered your ideal use case. It's a lot about fashion in this case, right? But of course, it can be applied for other items as well or other categories. But you also sometimes have other use cases, if I recall correctly, right? That goes almost into transportation. Can you also tell a little bit about that one?
Yeah. So some of the other use cases which we have handled for our customers in the US and Canada, we built this use cases where we're basically replenishing floor racks in a typical large giant FMCG distribution center. So they have these floor racks arranged at their outbound pick forward locations. And from the reserve pallet area, they basically load these cases on top of our robots. And the robots then come to the floor racks and replenish these floor racks at different points, multi-level floor racks. And from the floor racks, these cases move forward and where the actual units or eaches are picked and the actual outbound B2B orders built. So that's another use case. Another customer in Atlanta is an electronics e-commerce giant in US. And they have their own end-to-end automated, fully automated fulfillment center where they have an ASRS system which brings out the cases from which an articulated robot is picking eaches and placing it into carton boxes which are being handled by our robots. And our robots are required because these carton boxes are coming from a carton erector, then to the pick station, then to the outbound, all of them at different levels. So because they wanted a fully automated operation, they preferred to use our robots to pick from A to B and B to C. The entire orchestration is done by the unbox sort robots at multiple levels. Any other use cases which I'm missing, Pramod?
Yeah, I think we have been also working with, of course, the standard parcel sortation use cases where generally companies have been deploying, let's say, conveyor systems and the conveyor systems are sorting packages into, let's say, 20 trolleys or 20 gilords, and they're followed by put to light systems with people. What we have done is we have created systems where we have deployed our systems to handle these parcels. And our system is sorting packages into 100 plus or maybe 200 plus kind of destinations. So we have been designing such systems where you don't really need this two-step process of putting a primary automation system and then people who are doing further sortation into bags or maybe boxes or gaylords or trolleys. So you reduce the time and you also reduce the overall touch points and then kind of related errors or redundancies there. So this kind of allows our customers to operate in a very flexible manner. They can sort packages directly. If their, let's say, supply chain changes, they can keep adding more destinations in the same setup. So it's a classic forward sortation process, which we can automate. We have also automated the return sortation, where we have been handling very poor quality packages, which are coming back from customers. And they're supposed to go back to origin. For example, maybe different e-commerce companies or retail companies whose customers are returning the orders. These orders can be also sorted by our systems in a very efficient manner in respective bags, directly into the retail or e-commerce company's bag. These are like typical forward and return sortation processes, which we have been automating along with the omni-channel or let's say the replenishment use cases, which Rohit has mentioned.
So reverse logistics has been another very important use case, as Pramod mentioned, you know, where conventionally people don't want to spend a lot of money because it's ultimately a returns and they want to keep it as asset light or as capital light as possible. So with our system, what we were able to do was, in a very small space, in a very sort of flexible manner, we are able to give them hundreds and thousands of locations. Now they are able to sort their returns, especially the fashion players are able to sort the returns with respect to granular categories. You know, it could be, let's say, the sizes, you know, large, extra large, small. It could be the season, it could be summer wear, winter wear. It could be the subcategories like trousers or t-shirts or, you know, different categories. So now when you create these and multiply these, you realize that you have 200 or 300 exits required to sort with respect to granularity. Sometimes you want them to go directly into storage. Sometimes you want them to go through a QC or some, let's say, some processing before it goes into storage. So we are able to build that compact, low-cost setup for return sortation mm-hmm. providers. Again, one of the use cases in a typical omni-channel distribution center.
Amazing. So you cover like those different use cases, though they're still well-targeted. And I understand you're now on a path to success. What I mean is that you're really took your time to harden the system, to develop the system, and now you're going international. So you have your first customers in Europe, you have your first customers in the US, and rolling out projects. So what does that journey look like?
Yeah, we of course are really looking forward to expanding these regions. Fortunately, because of the uniqueness of the system, we have got a lot of inbound traction. A lot of companies have reached out to us. Even though we have not done heavy marketing yet, looking at the videos or probably through some references, people have been reaching out to us. Now, our job is to kind of, how do we expand fast in these markets, form the right kind of partnerships, be it system integrators or service partners, so that we give an end-to-end, let's say, support to our customers. And we are really looking forward to kind of get into these regions like Europe and US this year. So we are currently in the process of going live in a few more locations. We've got a few more contracts done in countries like Spain, Netherlands, UK, within the European and UK region. And then there are a few more customers which are in the pipeline as well. So as we speak, we are looking at doubling down on our efforts by doing, let's say, direct, let's say, efforts from our team as well as through our partners, be it technology partners or service partners or system integrator partnerships.
Yeah. One of the key factors, especially when we're going international, would be to stitch the whole picture together end to end. Because customers there, we've noticed is in US, especially, or Europe, they don't want to go to multiple entities, you know, like, let's say, one entity for robots, one entity for, let's say, software, one entity for, let's say, the civil work infrastructure or IT infrastructure, or one entity for sorting, one entity for picking, you know. So we've noticed that they prefer one-stop-shop solution where everything is coming together. And then the second important part for them is the payback or the ROI, which we are promising. And the third element which they care about is reliability and smooth experience. They don't want to constantly keep tinkering with the system. So what we are focusing on is, while we are making sure our core system and all everything is very well refined for the experience to be smooth and reliable, we're also having the rest of the stories sort of coming together with through partnerships, you know, local or regional partners who are helping us with the on-site service and support. Or let's say the inbound journey from picking, or let's say to our system, there again, we need the right partners for picking technologies. Or the system integration partners who can help us with the whole rest of the story coming in together. And again, we are working closely with Waku, for example, for just to give the whole after sales experience as a very smooth experience for ourselves as well as the end consumer. So there, we're able to sort of give a one-stop shop system where they're able to access the whole, all of the robotics deployments in the same facility in one place. They're able to have real-time data captured. They're able to plan their maintenance activities and observe the costs or the expenses, the whether they're in the red or the green in terms of a month-on-month expense calculations. So all of these elements is what helps us go with a sort of a very confident and a very foolproof one-stop shop solution for the customers.
Yeah. So of course, you know, like it's great working together. And join forces to help you growing international. So maybe to get one step deeper, how many deployments do we have at the moment in Europe? And what are your plans for this year so that people get an idea of where you're standing?
Yeah, we have currently we are going live in the second site in Europe. Third will be coming up in UK, and we expect I think another 3 to 4 sites in the next 6 to 9 months in the same region. And interestingly, even in the same set of sites we have, we are looking at adding more robots. So our customers are asking for example, typically they can ask for more robots as their volume goes up. So we are in one of the sites is doing that. So we are planning to add more robots in phases.
That's a very comfortable growth if you're just, it's not just, but it's a proof for your system, right? And for your success also, that customers rolling out, not just to additional sites, but also within one site. I guess it's a very good proof point. Yeah. And then, Rod, you also mentioned that you have partners that help you with servicing and we help you with our software for maintenance and service to organize that one, to organize your partner network. I guess that's something that's a pattern that we see a lot, where we have companies from a particular country that go international, but then you have Europe, you have Spain, you have UK, you have, Italy, that all speak different languages, all different business culture as well. So, and then you need to have some sort of local partner, right?
Definitely. We are working very closely with the right markets, especially we started with building our partners in UK. Eventually, we had some more conversations and now we have strong partnerships in Spain. And also, we are now working with people in Germany and Hungary and Greece. At the same time, in the US, again, we are working closely with a couple of system integration partners for getting access to the larger market. We believe right now, being here, we're not as connected to the exact opportunities coming out in the international space. And very soon, we want to increase our presence there. But until then, we really have very strong partnerships with us who will continue with us in terms of growing presence and growth in these regions. Until we have a very strong sort of, let's call it, we're giving a very unique offering and experience to the market right now, the express logistics sortation market. And you want to capitalize that unique position by increasing as many installations in months and quarters through our partners.
So looking forward beyond this year, what can we expect from Unbox Robotics in the next few years?
I think you'll see a very innovative company focusing on the customer pain points from, let's say, the processes or supply chain perspective, not just the robotics perspective, and understanding the ground realities, not just the robotics tech. It's a company which basically puts empathy in what happens on ground and how do we solve that through technology rather than building a technology first and finding out the problems. So you'll see that approach from Unbox, and you'll see more innovative products and more deployments coming up in the future. Yeah.
So main focus is on rather scaling what you have than adding more products to your portfolio. Or?
Yeah, so that has been the case from the very beginning for us. You know, what we are focusing on is building a very strong platform with our R&D. And then we using these platforms, new products definitely will come. But for now, we want to make sure that we have laser sharp focus on this very product. And this product going into the market, and because it's catering to a mainstream market, not the niche, we hope that this will help us create a very strong brand and sort of a messaging about Unbox Robotics, which will then, along with the platform, help us create new products much more faster.
Amazing. I can't wait to see you scaling, because I truly think it's very innovative technology, especially in terms of tailored to the specific use case. Right? So like innovative is one thing, but really nailing a use case is a completely different thing. That, and I totally agree, Pramod, right? That doesn't have to do necessarily with the technology itself, right? Your technology can be super advanced, cutting edge, you know, like really over the top almost, right? But it doesn't really help if it doesn't address the pain points and the specific use cases.
Yeah, that's the philosophy. Yeah.
So I totally saw that. And one more thing that I also saw at your, when I visited your company, and talking to a few people, was, you know, like how deeply ingrained the quality aspect is, you know, like into everyone, you know, like that I was talking to was like, we need to ensure quality, you know, like from a hardware, from a software perspective, from a project delivery perspective. So that was something super unique, I have to say. So like really deeply ingrained into the culture. And that's also important, right? To build up confidence to have it so deeply ingrained into, you know, like every person you're talking to. That's also a kind of an achievement. So. Rod, Pramod, when people hear this and they think, hey, it sounds amazing, looks like I have something, where can they find you? Where can they contact you?
They can write to us on our emails, or they can reach out to us on LinkedIn. I'm Pramod Ghadge on LinkedIn. Like, that's my name on LinkedIn. Rohit is Rohit Pitle. Happy to share our email IDs as well. I'm at Pramod at unboxrobotics.com. And Rohit is at Rohit at unboxrobotics.com. So it's very straightforward, very simple. Yeah.
Okay. And otherwise, it's unbox.com if you now want to see some videos.
Yeah, if they want to see, yeah, unboxrobotics.com. Yeah, that's the website, yeah.
Amazing. We are already coming to an end, and can't wait to see you succeeding, scaling international, and also how our partnership evolves. So thank you for coming. Looking forward to a next show once, you know, like you can update us with your journey. Thanks, Rohit. Thanks, Pramod.
Thank you. Thank you, Victor. It was a pleasure to be on the call. Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Victor.
Bye.
Das war Roboter in der Logistik mit Victor Splittgerber von Vaku Robotics. Die Expertinnen und Experten für mobile Roboter in der Logistik und Produktion. Weitere Infos erhältst du auf vaku-robotics.com.